A migrant crisis on the French side of the Channel Tunnel. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with a global perspective on business and economics. Overnight, about 2,000 migrants attempted to push their way into the Channel Tunnel linking France and the UK, but were turned back by authorities. Migrants from North Africa, Afghanistan, and beyond have been encamped near the freight terminals on the French side, where trucks gather for loading into rail cars. Last night, one migrant from the Sudan is reported to have been killed under the wheels of a truck. The BBC's Jonathan Frewin is following this for us from London.
Essentially, there are thousands of migrants camped outside the freight terminus of the Channel Tunnel. It seems like the weakest link for migrants desperate to cross to the UK is via the freight terminus. And so people are storming that compound nightly, trying to find a way to either hitch a ride on a truck or find some other way to get into the country. And to give you the picture from the UK, we've got reports of trucks being searched on entry, and of course, sometimes a number of migrants are found.
Eight other migrants have died this year attempting the tunnel route. British and French authorities have an outline of a plan to repatriate some of the migrants, but no details have been made public.
The UK authorities are working quite carefully with the French authorities because there is a substantial body of people who fear that these people are coming to live on UK's generous benefits, take advantage of the UK's National Health Service, which doesn't tend to turn people away if they need assistance. And so it's a hot, political hot potato, if you like. There's a considerable sum of money being invested by the UK government in improving the fencing outside the Channel Tunnel freight terminus.
In April, hundreds of migrants fleeing poverty and civil war died when a ferry bound to Italy capsized off of Libya. In Iowa today, poultry industry groups and government officials are at a big gathering about the bird flu. They're working out causes for the outbreak this spring that cost Midwestern poultry farmers about 48 million birds. They're also looking at how to stop this from spreading again in the fall when wild birds, carriers of the virus, will migrate. Marketplace's Annie Baxter reports.
One of the tools poultry producers may consider is a vaccine. Here's Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack testifying before a congressional committee last week.
We have a seed strain that appears to be fairly successful with reference to chickens. It's now in the process of being tested for turkey.
Another focus is biosecurity on farms. That might mean disinfecting delivery trucks that service multiple facilities.
These were all things that were done on paper. Whether or not they were done in practice or not is debatable.
Tom Elam consults with poultry producers. He's glad the USDA is adding 450 temporary workers in case of a big outbreak this fall. Elam says the agency was too slow to euthanize birds this past spring and to clean up infected facilities.
Perhaps we saw those houses that weren't cleaned up properly responsible for spreading the infection to nearby farms.
The government response to bird flu is the subject of a congressional ag committee hearing tomorrow. I'm Annie Baxter for Marketplace.
Japan is known for its grandiose, expensive, and technology-driven toilets. They got buttons, they got heaters, they got special jets. Many Japanese trends, like cold coffee, eventually make it to the U.S., but reporter Sally Herships in Japan looks at why the complicated toilet has yet to take hold in America.
There's really just no other way to describe them. The toilets of Japan are fabulous and high-tech.
You can use a remote control to, let's say, you don't want to lift up the lid yourself because it's dirty.
Kare Kawauchi is translating for me. We're at the Toto showroom in Tokyo, one of Japan's largest toilet manufacturers.
Wait, these are toilets with remote controls?
Yes.
The showroom is white and shiny. If Apple built a toilet store, this is what it might look like, but cleaner. Noriko Yamashita works for Toto. I ask her about a complex-looking remote control, one with 22 buttons. She presses one and a tube appears from under the seat, spraying water.
You can arrange this.
The water temperature?
Yeah. For this remote.
It's like going to the spa.
Yes.
The Japanese love having all these options. Toto's washlet is probably the best-known model. It's a toilet seat with features like a built-in bidet, a dryer for your nether regions, and the option to play sounds in case you need some sonic camouflage for your toilet activities. But the washlet is just a seat. It costs around $600. You still need a toilet and a tank. In Japan, you can end up spending as much as $2,700 on your toilet. Maybe that high price tag is why they haven't taken off here yet. Okay, so should we pop this open?
You want to take a look at it?
I'm talking to Bill Strang. He's president of operations for Toto in the Americas. Strang says in Japan, Toto had a big leg up. Even before the company went high-tech back in 1990, it already made toilets, so consumers were familiar with the brand. I feel like we should go look at the Marketplace bathroom. Do you want to see it?
Yeah.
By American standards, the women's bathroom at Marketplace's New York bureau is pretty nice. It's big and clean, and ladies, there are multiple stalls. But even though these toilets flush automatically with sensors, by Japanese standards, it's hard not to feel like you're in the bathroom dark ages. But most U.S. consumers haven't been to Japan and don't know there is a whole high-tech toilet world out there. So Strang has his pitch down.
I often say that I can tell you about the washlet, but until you can actually test drive it and understand that experience, you will then be able to say in your heart what really it brings to you in the way of value.
And Strang's pitch may be working. He says Toto's U.S. sales are increasing by 20% a year. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
Now, our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Meg Kramer. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.